I'd like to read verses 49 through 51. They which were about him, that is Jesus, saw what would follow. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, we smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. We see that Luke is the only one that records the restoring of the ear of this man by the name of Malchus. Matthew, Mark, and John, along with Luke, all give us the details of the events leading up to the miracle. They all record that the man by the name of Malchus had his ear cut off, but only Luke records the actual healing. We began last week looking at the events leading up to the miracle, which is the emphasis of the gospel writers. And we see that Jesus, after the night of the Passover, after he had assembled with his apostles and Judas had been sent out, that he instituted the Lord's Supper with the 11, and then he went out into the Mount of Olives, and we see that in the Mount of Olives was a garden by the name of Gethsemane. And there Jesus would go a little further into the garden with Peter, James, and John, and then he would depart from them, and they were to pray, and then Jesus, of course, would pray. And it was at that time that Satan attempted to kill Christ. We see that Christ actually struggled for his life in Gethsemane. It was Satan's attempt to keep him from going to the cross. Christ, of course, was victorious. He prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me, referring to the suffering of Gethsemane. And he got the victory in Gethsemane. And then we see that after praying and after enduring this intense battle with Satan, and after the fact that Judas had entered into agreement with the enemies of the Lord to betray Christ, after all that has transpired, Jesus arises from his praying, and he does so with a readiness and eager anticipation to go forth in the path that would lead to the cross. Notice in Matthew 26 and verse 46, in verse 45, he told the disciples to sleep on now and take your rest. The hour is at hand. That is, the hour has arrived. And the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners, referring to the act of Judas. Rise. This is in the context of the Son of Man is betrayed in the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Rise, let us be going. And he's not talking about an escape. And then notice in Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, verses 41 and verse 42. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hand of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And then notice in John chapter 18, verse 4. John chapter 18, and verse 4. And this explains when Jesus said, "Let us go." This explains where he's going. He's not running away. He's not trying to hide. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and saith unto them, that is Judas and the band of men that were with him, "Whom seek ye?" So it was while Jesus spoke the words to the apostles, "Rise, let us be going," that Judas arrived. And he arrived with a group of men to arrest Jesus Christ. We notice in Matthew 26, again, Matthew 26, verse 47. "And while he yet spake," that is while Jesus was telling the apostles, "The hour is come, let us go." And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, or wooden planks, or clubs. And they came from the chief priests and elders of the people. So Judas arrives. And he arrives with what is referred to as a band of men, which is a tenth part of a legion, which would be approximately 500 men. So here's Judas with approximately 500 men to come and get one man, Jesus Christ. It says also there were officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came with lanterns, because it was nighttime, and torches, and weapons. We see in John 18, verse 3, they came with lanterns and torches because they believed that Christ would seek to hide. And they would have to look for them, would have to look for him. So they come with lanterns and torches. They also came with weapons because they believed that Christ would have to be taken by force. They were completely wrong. They would not have to look for Christ because Christ would not hide. Christ would present himself. They would not have to take him by force because Christ would willingly submit. And he's submitting to the will of God. So, in their minds, Jesus Christ would have to be captured. But they're completely wrong. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John 10, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." I lay down my life. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself." Now Judas and these men come with the purpose of taking the life of Jesus Christ. They would arrest him and then take the life of Christ. That is what is in their mind. But again, they missed it completely. So Jesus, in John chapter 18, he sees Judas and his band of men. They arrive, and Jesus goes forth and he asks them a question. "Whom seek ye? Who are you looking for?" And they answered in verse 5. This shows that they did not even recognize Jesus Christ. And I believe that is because their eyes were holden by God. Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. They do not refer to him as Christ because they do not believe he is Christ. They refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth. And then something amazing happened. Jesus said unto them, very calmly, under complete control, I am. He's in italics. It's not in the original. He simply says, I am. The result of that was they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, I believe when Jesus said, I am, that is, I am Jehovah, he revealed his glory, partially. And the result was they could not stand in his presence, and they fell backward. Who's in control here? Jesus Christ is in complete, absolute control. These men could do nothing unless Jesus submits himself into their hands. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus says, I am. John refers to it many times. Notice in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse 26, Jesus speaking with the woman at the well, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am. Again, he presented himself as Jehovah. Had a great impact upon her. John chapter 8 and verse 58, verse 59. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The result was they took up stones to stone him because he declared himself to be God. I am. And when Jesus said to Judas and his band of men, I am, he revealed himself to be God. And the result is they fall backward. John 13, verse 19, Jesus speaking to the apostles, he says, Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am. You may believe that I am. And then, of course, that brings us to John chapter 18, where Jesus says, I am. He says it again in verse 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. He says it again in verse 8. Jesus answered, I told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. So Jesus goes unto Judas and his approximately 500 men. He asks them, Who are you looking for? They answer. He reveals his person. He reveals his glory. He reveals that he is God. And the result is they fall to the ground. All of these men with Judas, with their lanterns, their torches, and their swords and their staves. Again, Christ is in absolute control of the situation. Jesus then repeated the question in verse 7. In verse 8, then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. This wasn't the first time he told them. He had told them during his ministry that he was the I am. But he says, I have told you that I am. What Jesus is saying here is, here I am. Take me. But then notice what he says. He says, but let these, the apostles, go their way. Here I am. You take me, and you let these, the apostles, the 11, you let these go. That is a beautiful illustration of the work of Jesus Christ. You take me and you let these go. That is exactly what happened at the cross. Jesus Christ experienced the wrath of God. And all along he's saying, let these, all those whom Christ was dying for, let these go. That is, set these free. Set these at liberty. That is the accomplishment of the work of Christ. So, notice what Jesus is doing here is he's protecting his sheep. He's protecting his own. He always does that. Notice again in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. What Jesus is doing there is he's doing the work of the shepherd. Take me, let these go. And then in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, he that is paid to do a work of a shepherd, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. Jesus did not leave the apostles. Jesus did not seek to flee. He said, here I am. Take me. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth. Why does the hireling flee? Because he is a hireling. He flees because of who he is. Because of what he is. He's a hireling. And because he careth not for the sheep. Jesus said, take me, let these go. Because he careth for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Everything that Jesus is doing here in John chapter 18, everything that happened in Gethsemane prior to Judas and his men coming, everything was for the sheep. And then when Judas and his men arrive, and Jesus presents himself and is willing to go with Judas and his men, everything is being done for the sheep. That's the Christ that saved our soul. So from all of this, we see clearly that Christ voluntarily would go to the cross. Christ would willingly offer himself to arrest. And Jesus knew, we already read here in John chapter 18, Jesus knew what would take place. He knew what would follow the arrest. He knew that he would be scourged. He knew that he would be mocked. He knew that he would be ridiculed. He knew all of those things because he's God. Christ knew, he knew all about the cross. He knew why he came. And knowing all of that, he voluntarily and willingly offered himself to arrest. Again, humanly speaking, he could have avoided arrest because all he had to do was speak and they fell to the ground. But the reality is that Jesus could not avoid arrest because he came to do the will of the Father. And that was part of the will of the Father, to be arrested. Could have called 10,000 angels, humanly speaking. But in reality, he couldn't, because he could not be delivered from this hour. So he voluntarily and willingly offered himself to arrest. He is really, and ultimately, to the death of the cross. I find great delight in knowing that the cross, what transpired at the cross and all the events leading up to that, is not a tragedy. It is a blessing, because Jesus Christ readily, intentionally, and deliberately submitted himself, and he did so for us. And what's amazing, 500 men approximately show up with weapons. It's obvious that they believed, though they did not believe that this was the Christ. They did not believe that he was God. But if you're going to take the trouble of getting 500 men to go after one, you believe something, that this man's no ordinary man. So they had some awareness that Jesus was no ordinary man, but they were completely ignorant, because they believed that he would have to be taken by force. And Jesus Christ is very, very calm when he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" You realize they would have walked right past Jesus Christ, not even recognizing him, had not Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And had not Jesus said, "I am," they would have gone on looking. They would have spent the night looking for the very one they were speaking to. Jesus Christ was in absolute control. And I believe that's true. After the arrest, and after the so-called trials, Jesus was in control of the whole situation. When they nailed him to the cross, Jesus was in control. He was in complete control, and he was calm. Now, as Judas and his men arrive, Luke records that the apostles asked Christ, as they see this group of people coming, "Shall we smite with the sword? Shall we draw our swords?" And Jesus said, "No, permit it. Permit it to be." And that's where we'll pick up next week. Let's look to the Lord.